You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Friday, January 5th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. No Durant, no problems, am I right? I mean, the Warriors got superb games from Draymond Green. Stephen Curry was brilliant as usual. And Nick Young contributed like I knew he would, but Chris Paul is still a very, very good basketball player. We'll get into all that and more in the first segment, recapping the Warriors' win over the Rockets 124-114. In the second segment, we're going to go down the Reddit hole, Friday news dump, see what's going on around the NBA. And then in the third segment, we'll be previewing the game against the Clippers. The Clippers are playing very well right now, though they did lose to the Thunder last night, 127-117 on TNT. Before we get to that, though, I've got a little bit of shameless self-promotion. You can find my media on Forbes.com. I've been featured on BleacherReport.com. I've also got a Medium blog called Kogitare. You can get me on Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E, and email me at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com if you feel so inclined. You just want to chop it up about hoops. You have any comments about the show. I appreciate them. Further, make sure you go to Facebook.com, Locked On Warriors, like that page. Locked On NBA Net, like that page. We have all the teams in the NBA, so you can listen to a podcast about the Raptors if you feel like you want to get more information on the Raptors. Locked On NBA Net, Locked On Warriors, and Locked On every other team you can imagine. All right, no Durant, no Omri Caspi last night, so Andre got the rare start, and he was active from the very beginning with a really pretty fake into a pass, fake into a drive to the basket for the Warriors' first basket of the game. He just is so clever out there, the way he moves his body. He can lead defenses where he wants them to go and then use the misdirection to capitalize. It's awesome. Andre played 30 minutes, 10 points, 8 assists, 3 stocks. He was efficient, though he didn't make a 3-pointer. He was 5 of 9 from the field. So that was very important for Andre to have a good game in the absence of Kevin Durant, especially starting. And he was active defensively as well, with a defensive rating of 110, which is one of the lowest on the team in heavy minutes. So Andre played well. Obviously, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson were their normal efficient selves, 20 shots each, better than 50% for each of them. But the game ball goes to Draymond Green tonight. Despite his 4 turnovers, they were early turnovers. They didn't look good, and they allowed the Rockets to get going. But triple-double, and specifically I want to talk about this interview that he had with TNT that they showed in the first quarter, where he's so politic now. So he can insult people, and sometimes they might not even know they're being insulted. So he was asked about home court, and he was like, yeah, it's important to us, but it's not the same. We don't go into every game thinking about home court, whereas maybe the Rockets might be more important to them. They might be thinking about it more because they haven't done it yet. And he says, yeah, because they haven't done it yet. And I'm just like, Draymond, wow, you're so good at like not being an asshole, but still kind of being an asshole. And it's just so perfect. I love Draymond. And I love what he brought to the table last night. 17 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists. And he was all over the court. 3 stocks and a defensive rating of 108, which is the lowest on the team in heavy minutes. He even got to the free throw line 8 times, making 7. So he was involved in every facet of the game and directed traffic superbly on both ends. Plus 16 on the night for Draymond. Nick Young. I predicted Nick Young would have an important role in this game. It just felt like a game that he would be necessary in, especially without the firepower of Durant and with the running and helter-skelter offense-defense combo of the Houston Rockets. And he played 20 minutes shooting 4 of 7, 3 of 5 from three, including one weird banker from the left corner that everyone was happy to see go in. But 11 points and a +5 on the night. And some all right defense. The Warriors as a whole played a little bit better defense, I think, than they have in the previous few games. They still surrendered a defensive rating of 113.1, and they still allowed 17 three-pointers. But the Rockets shot 17 of 50. The Rockets are going to shoot a lot of three-pointers, but when you hold them to below 40% from the three-point line, you're doing an all right job, especially with the last few games, allowing teams to shoot really well from the three. But 17 three-pointers is still a lot of three-pointers. And like I said, they in yesterday's pod, they take three-pointers, the Rockets, that is, early in the shot clock to keep defenses from being able to set up. And that's their MO. That's what they do. They do it with or without James Harden on the floor. And Chris Paul was an absolute floor general last night. Uncharacteristic 5 turnovers, but 28 points. He can be a scorer when he wants to. 5 of 10 from 3, 10 of 21 from the field. 7 rebounds, 9 assists. I mean, he was absolutely everywhere, though he did have 5 fouls as well, which is also uncharacteristic for him. But when you put the ball in his hands at a higher usage rate, he played 36 minutes. It's more likely he's going to make those mistakes, especially without a safety valve like James Harden on the floor. But Chris Paul definitely gets the game ball in the loss. Eric Gordon also had a really, really good game, 38 minutes, 12 of 24 from the field, but only 2 of 9 from 3. He was made into a volume shooter. Trevor Ariza also made into a volume shooter, 1 of 8. But Gerald Green, great game for Gerald Green. 8 of 15 from 3, 9 of 16 from the field. He took 15 three-pointers. Wow. But 29 points, 30 for Eric Gordon, and 28 for Chris Paul, 15 for Clint Capella. And that was where the offense came from. There was no other offense. The Rockets were nullified at the power forward position with Ryan Anderson and PJ Tucker providing very little, and Tarik Black very little. So that's Draymond right there. You can chalk that up to Draymond and David West playing superb defense down low, and making sure that, but it's also a ton of just jacking three-pointers. The Rockets had 4 players take more than 8 three-pointers, so they didn't really focus on their game down low, though Clint Capella was one of the only guys to get going even a little bit. He was 7 of 10. But this team clearly missed James Harden's dribble drives. You know, they still had 20 assists, but they're used to getting a little bit easier baskets. And that's one element that they just don't really have without James Harden, is just that ability to penetrate into the teeth of the defense, kick the ball out, wide open three-pointers. Chris Paul can be a guy who does that. Trevor Ariza can be a guy who does that. Same with Eric Gordon. But James Harden is special at it, and the Rockets' offense is built on what he can do with the ball in his hands, so they're going to be a little bit different without him. But they still played a hell of a game. All right, before we go down the Reddit hole, I want to talk to you about being a sponsor of the Locked On Warriors podcast. Is your company looking to advertise to men between the ages of 18 and 44? If so, look no further than the Locked On Warriors podcast. LO Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that's your target demographic, get at me. Our rates are reasonable. You can email me at alicocarter11@gmail.com to find out more. All right, let's go down the Reddit hole. I'll start in our Warriors with Redditor Velocirappa, who says, David West has been one of the most productive per-minute players in the NBA, and more people need to know about it. A few weeks ago, I did talk about David West's per 36 minutes. They're right in line with his all-star per 36s from the New Orleans Hornets. He's shooting 62.6% from the field. That's crazy because he's taking a ton of mid-range jump shots. Not a ton, but more than your average center. Of players averaging 10 or more minutes who have played in 15 or more games, David West is currently 8th in win shares per 48 minutes. Real plus minus also makes David West look incredible. Velocirappa says it's not a perfect stat, but tends to be one of the most widely accepted players. of the plus-minus type stats that look at a player's per-minute impact. He's second in the entire league in defensive real plus-minus and 16th in real plus-minus overall. What a luxury it is for the Warriors to be able to have a former All-Star like David West come off the bench, a consummate professional constantly in the gym, and enforcing the back line the way that he does while also bringing offense when necessary. But I'm not sure what the Warriors would do without. He's such a big part of their depth. I'm not sure what they would do without David West in that second unit, anchoring defensive assignments, barking orders, and making big plays. Redditor Empty Plate submits a story from BleacherReport.com about Stephen Curry's evolving game and goes into a lot about what makes him so dangerous and the plays that make him so dangerous. Obviously, he had that three-pointer to beat the Dallas Mavericks a few nights ago, but then came back with another just stellar performance against the Houston Rockets. The final possession from the third quarter, the Warriors set a triple screen for Steph to get an open three. And Steph, just moving with the ball, moving without the ball, makes things happen on the court. The article makes arguments that Curry is more important than the other stars on the team, as his net rating is insane in the on-off splits, 17.0 to 5.8. And his offensive rating splits, 120.0 to 106.6, also crazy. He's averaging 27.6.5 assists, 2.8 turnovers on 66.2% true shooting. It's not his MVP, his second MVP season, but it's pretty damn impressive. A nice little note from Redditor Perks of These Walls. Per Darren Revelle, Kevin Durant has donated $3 million to Texas, the University of Texas, that is, to support Texas basketball and the Center for Sports Leadership and Innovation. Two areas will be named for Durant, including the men's basketball facilities, the Kevin Durant Basketball Facility for Men. $3 million, that's a lot of money. He only played 1 year at Texas, but that is some legacy building right there, isn't it? All right, we're going to go around the NBA now, and we're going to start in Philadelphia, where Redditor Wide Sheep notes that Brett Brown was on the Wojnarowski pod recently and basically said Joel Embiid doesn't practice. He said, and I quote, "When you look at what he's done and he effectively hasn't practiced, we're moving him forward and he'll get on a normal routine like his teammates are on when you're just like a normal part of the moving parts of the team. Right now, that hasn't happened. We've done everything we can to deliver him to the court on game night. He's obviously a participant in film sessions and walkthroughs, but I think when he's actually practicing and getting his cardio and his basketball rhythm down, I think, look out. I think he's been really strong to date just because he's that good. I think when he starts being with the team more and practicing with his teammates more, then the upside is off the charts." Off the charts. Charts. off the charts. Redditor NBA underscore alt says James Harden has made more free throws and field goals during his career. Interesting fact. He has made 4,339 field goals and 4,545 free throws during his career. Additionally, he has scored 14,750 points, which means that free throws account for approximately 31% of his total points per Basketball Reference. That's crazy. I'd like to see what the highest percentage of free throws is for a career for a player. Because, you know, you look at these guys like Shaquille O'Neal and people like that, they got fouled all the time, but they weren't making all these free throws. And James Harden is a career like 86% free throw shooter. So has there anyone ever who's combined his volume and proficiency, and who is it? I'll be digging into that and seeing if I can't bring that up next week. Redditor Mets Vault posted video of Klay Thompson hitting his 6-3 of the night. If you recall, it was that three. He had one. He was deep, about 27, 28 feet. It rimmed in and out off the backboard. Andre got the rebound, kicked it back out to Klay, and Klay drained the next one. And then he got hype. It's awesome when Klay gets hype. And somebody else posted a video of Stephen Curry saying it's always fun when you get any kind of emotion out of him. Fist bump, a smile, making eye contact. but yeah, he got really hyped. He was like, let's effing go. And he was, you know, just it's really great to see Klay pumped like that. And that was a big shot. Pushed the lead back to 10. So that second video comes from Redditor Togavirus. Redditor fourth-quarter notes that from Connor Letourneau, David West has a sprained left ankle. He got crossed over by Chris Paul in the game. It was a really dirty cross, and he literally sprained his ankle on the cross. So he'll be reevaluated tomorrow. We're going to have to do something about this. Redditor CSHAXERCS, I don't even know how to pronounce that, says, currently, Lonzo Ball with 120,800 has more All-Star votes than Devin Booker and Jimmy Butler. And it's a lot. More by a lot. 91,500 for Booker, 88,000 for Jimmy Butler. That's just sad. But, you know, Laker fans roll hard. They do. And I'm a little bit more surprised about that Jimmy Butler number. I mean, he's playing for a playoff team, so you'd think that there would be more exposure for him to get votes from people outside of the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. But they're not really on TV that often, the Timberwolves, that is. And the Lakers are on TV constantly, and they have that ingrained Laker, I'm going to vote kind of thing that the Minneapolis fans don't, I guess, they just don't have. But this team is about to make the playoffs for the first time in, what, 13 years or something like that. And Jimmy Butler's the best player on the team, so they have to do something. But there's only 5 starting spots, and Jimmy Butler's not going to get one of those. So it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. The first returns from All-Star voting came out yesterday, and LeBron James is not leading the East. It's actually Giannis Antetokounmpo with 863,000 votes, just a shade more than James, who has 856,000. In the Western Conference, Golden State Warriors teammates Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry are leading the front court and back court voting, respectively. In the East, guards, Kyrie Irving is pacing the guards in the East with 800,000 votes. DeMar DeRozan is next with 300,000. So that's a ton more. And Victor Oladipo is right behind him with 250,000. Ben Simmons with 210,000. Followed by John Wall, Dwayne Wade. Isaiah Thomas, not playing. And Kyle Lowry down there at the bottom with Bradley Beal and Jaylen Brown. In the front court, Giannis and LeBron James are followed by Joel Embiid, Chris Stapps, Porzingis, and Kevin Love. There's a big drop-off after LeBron, obviously. Followed by them is Al Horford, Jason Tatum, Andre Drummond, Enes Kanter, and Dwight Howard. Those Knicks fans go hard, don't they? Enes Kanter getting 83,000 votes, which is more than almost as much as Jimmy Butler. In the West, Stephen Curry leads the guards, 735,000, followed by James Harden with 600,000, Russell Westbrook with 438,000, and Klay Thompson with 359,000. After that's Ginobili, Chris Paul, Damian Lillard, Lonzo Ball, Devin Booker, and Jimmy Butler. Front court, Kevin Durant leads with 767,000, leading all Western players, followed by Anthony Davis. Big drop-off, 393,000 for Davis. DeMarcus Cousins, 356,000. And Draymond Green, 325. He's this close to starting. He's this close. After that's Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Carmelo Anthony, Karl Anthony Towns, Kyle Kuzma, and LaMarcus Aldridge. Kyle Kuzma actually has many more All-Star votes than Lonzo Ball. 184,000 All-Star votes for Kyle Kuzma. Laker fans go hard. All right, let's move on to the Clippers, who are playing fairly well despite a lot of injuries. They did recently get Blake Griffin back. They lost last night, but they're playing fairly well right now. They don't have Patrick Beverley, Danilo Gallinari, Austin Rivers, or Milos Teodosic. Well, Teodosic is questionable for tomorrow's game with a plantar fascia injury. But they still have Blake and they still have DeAndre Jordan. Those guys are a handful, along with Lou Williams, who's been playing out of his mind. You can't count on Lou Williams to shoot you into a win every single game, but he's doing the best he can. Sam Decker's also playing very well. If last night's game against the Thunder is any indication, the Clippers don't have a ton of scoring outside of Jordan, Griffin, Williams, and Wesley Johnson, who played 30 minutes last night. scored 13 points but was a minus 9 and only took 8 shots. Jordan, to his credit, had 15 field goal attempts and 26 points to go along with 17 total rebounds. He was a monster. So this could be a game where you see some JaVale McGee to match size with size and make Jordan work on the defensive end as McGee rolls to the basket. That size might be a bigger advantage than playing somebody like Jordan Bell in that role. Jordan Bell listed at 6'9". He can still jump through the roof. He's a pretty strong guy. But DeAndre Jordan is next level. Only averaging one block per game this season, but 15.2 rebounds, which would be a career high. 4.4 offensive. We're going to have to stop him on the offensive boards. He's shooting 60% from the free throw line, which would be a career high. So fouling him doesn't necessarily have the same benefits as it used to. He's shooting 66% from the field and scoring nearly 12 points a game. But I think he's going to be more involved in this game just because of the lack of firepower. They just don't have scoring, so they need him to score. On to Blake Griffin. He's taking more shots than he ever has, 18.3 a game, but his field goal percentage is down to 43%, and he's only shooting 35% from the three-point line, which would be a career high because he's taking 6 threes a game. He's never seen this kind of volume before, but you have to guard him out there. You can't just leave him wide open or else he's going to knock them down. He missed 14 games in November and December, returned on December 29th, where he promptly made an impact. They won the game before that he did not play, and then they went on a 3-game win streak with him in the lineup before losing to Oklahoma City last night. In the last 4 games, he's had point totals of 24, 25, 21, and 24, and he's had a few good shooting games as well. He's diming the ball like crazy. So Draymond is going to have his hands full with this matchup. Early start time for this game, 12:30 Pacific, so sleep in, get up, get your cocoa, watch the pregame, and enjoy the game. Should be a good one. That's my pod for the day. That's the week. I will catch y'all on Monday. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.